Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast with me, Ian Welsh. Joining me today is Olivier Tichet, Director for Sustainable Supply Chains with Muzum Mass. Welcome to the podcast, Olivier.
Thank you, Ian.
Why don't we start off with a quick introduction to Muzum Mass?
Muzum Mass is an Indonesian, Singaporean-based now, but Indonesian originally company. It started in 1932 as a soap factory. In the 70s, it became the first refinery in Indonesia, and then in the 80s, went into plantations. Today, it's a fully integrated palm company, palm group. It's present in 13 countries, if memory serves me right, and we do everything from plantations, refining, and also oleochemicals, and even steel, some soap.
We were talking before at the Innovation Forum Sustainable Commodities and Landscapes Conference, and we talked about the benefits of landscape approach for palm oil. So why are landscape approaches a useful solution for the palm oil sector?
The palm oil sector is relying a lot on smallholders. A landscape approach has two very good sides to it. One is that it looks not at the individual producer, but it looks at an area in which you have producers. So you can both look at the producers themselves and their performance, but also you can look at the landscape ecosystem services without linking them to every little producer. You might have a large producer, which has, let's say, a long riverbank, so it has a certain impact on the river, but you might also have 35 little smallholders, each and every one of them also along the same river. If you look at the individual producers, you're looking at a partial impact. That's one side of the landscapes. The other side of the landscape, if you want, or another component of the landscape, is that if you approach at the landscape level, you look at all the actors in the landscape, you put everybody around the table, and you can bring people from further afield as well. So it's a more holistic approach as to let's try to get everyone or everyone who wants to work together on that landscape, find solutions, get longer term plans. It's a different way of approaching the responsibility of the growers inside a landscape. It's about all the actors having their place in the landscape, claiming their place, accepting their responsibilities, but also everybody accepting responsibility to one another.
What are the characteristics then of what's necessary for a landscape approach to work in practice?
It's not easy, and there's no set formula. It will all depend on every landscape. It will be slightly different, but you can put together a certain set of, let's say, what I call the magic ingredients. You have to have as much as possible everybody around the table. And when I mean everybody, it doesn't mean everybody physically present in the landscape. For example, we Muzum Mass are working in a landscape in Aceh, in Aceh Tamiang. We do not have an operation there, but still we are present there as the buyer of the products coming from that area. But also, there are further buyers present there. So you have that link between producer and user, which is as important as having everybody in the landscape present and active to try to assess, to address whatever issues there are in the landscape or go for better outcomes for a landscape. The second ingredient I would put is obviously strong commitment. Everybody has to want to achieve something. It has to be, in our case, the larger priorities, an end to deforestation. We must stop deforestation quickly. If it's not already done, we must do that. So you must have very strong commitment. But the third ingredient, which to me is the most important ingredient, is time. You need time. You need to be committed for the long run. You have to show your commitment will not wane because, oh, it's a new budget year, let me think again. No, you have to be ready to be there for the long term. You have to be able to build trust, build relationships, and show that, yes, you mean business. Yes, you are there to support and participate in a landscape.
Can you give an example then of this work? You referred just now to a landscape where Muzum Mass is involved.
Yes, so there is a good example on the north of the island of Sumatra in the province of Aceh. One of the districts in that province is called Aceh Tamiang. And I think at the moment in our industry is maybe one of the best examples of how it can work. You have the three elements there. Strong commitment by the local government, by the local actors, by people coming from further like us and some of our competitors even, and also by buyers. You have PepsiCo who made a very strong commitment to that area. Unilever as well are present. And everybody comes together and that has worked. But it has worked also because we had the time. I can explain. It's not a matter of money. It's not about how many dollars you put. It's about how much commitment you have and how you demonstrate that commitment. So it worked in Hachette Amiens because everybody tried to bring their own expertise. In the case of Moussim Mass, it was extension services for smallholders, meaning what can we bring to smallholders to make them produce better and to introduce an element of sustainability in the way they operate on a daily basis. What was really the major factor was that we all understood our place. And for example, we, the private sector, and the CSOs, and the civil society, and the technical support organizations, we did not pretend to replace the government. Everybody did their part of the job, and the government did also its part of the job, which was to give a big umbrella to everybody and to commit to full compliance with regulations, but also to finding ways to make it so that it was better understood what were the requirements, legal and beyond legal, that the local government was happy to put in place. And that strong commitment gave everyone the possibility to go another year and another year and find real implementation on the ground. That made really that area a success. We believe it can be replicated. Not exactly. Like I said, there's no set formula. It's not a magic formula. We've not suddenly discovered the cure to deforestation through landscapes. But we can see what has functioned there. Good cooperation, good respect of the various functions, everybody bringing very specific or very good technical capacities. And now that it has worked, the other local governments and the bigger governments, the provincial government possibly, can look at this and say, hold on a second, yet it is possible. What can we do? Can we get inspired by this and then follow the next steps of what will happen in Hachette Amiens? Because it's not over. We've not solved the problem of deforestation in Hachette or in Hachette Amiens, but we've gone a long way already towards stopping deforestation.
We've talked about the challenges of scalability for years at the sort of events we had last week, our Innovation Forum conference and elsewhere. So do you think that the landscape approach is really the way to scale up solutions to deforestation and other problems in tropical commodities?
Landscape approaches or jurisdictional approaches, depending on how they're organized, are they replicable is more my concern. Can you replicate? Like I said, there's no set formula, but you can set good examples that inspire others. Is it going to work everywhere? I'm not certain. It might not be for everybody. On top of that, at sometimes when you get to a certain level, it's not replicable anymore. Maybe the structures are not there, are not supportive of very large landscapes. You could have very small landscapes. A landscape can be a village, and it can be valuable to have a village work as a landscape, as a jurisdiction almost. It can be valuable then to go to the district level, but I'm not sure that it's because a district in a province is successful in landscape management that it means the whole province can then turn into a landscape and be successful. What might happen, on the other hand, is that that district and the neighboring district now start to work together, and then the neighboring district on the other side and around them, and the neighboring district a bit further up, and maybe another province, a district officer visits with his team, and they can be inspired as well, or we can bring that knowledge as well, or some of the other partners, some of the TSOs can do that. So I'm not sure if it's scaling up, it might be scaling sideways, so to speak, finding inspiration in what others do. That is maybe the way I think it can be useful. Everybody has to find their own recipe. So you can't just say, we'll just make it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm not certain that can work that way, but it can be used for inspiration. The ones which are progressing faster than others can go even farther. So we're talking in Hachette Amiens, for example, we're going beyond now direct extension services provided by us to local government doing its own extension services with our support. And now we're looking at an indicative HCVHES map for the next district. How are they? So it's people are working at different speeds. So it's not just about scaling up, it's about more replicating or finding inspiration in others.
And to get that replication, I guess, it's important to learn from mistakes in earlier projects. What are the characteristics of what doesn't work when thinking about a kind of landscape approach?
Well, I think that's an extremely long list. I think there's been quite a few sad trials. The point is not always failures in the sense you cannot look at a building that has collapsed and say, oh, and there goes the landscape approach. It's even worse than that. It's about withering. So it would be something that will have stopped once the support has also gone away. What doesn't function is definitely when you are not respecting everybody's role. It might sound extremely basic, but you must find everybody's role. Everybody has to be fully responsible for what they are bringing to the table. And so that's the point about the commitment. If you do not have full commitment of every actor around the table, I think it will obviously not function. Another failure recipe, I would say, is like we discussed just now, it's thinking that because you can do it at a district, you can do it at a province, and you can do it at a national level. I think that is maybe a major misconception. You cannot simply scale up and up and up and up forever. You have to be very modest at every landscape, define the landscape correctly in the sense that you must be with people who are comfortable with the landscape that's being discussed, and expect everybody to do their part and not have high hopes that you can scale up and up and up and up.
I guess then there's a danger of the landscape approach being the sort of the latest silver bullet answer. I mean, in the past, everyone's thought that certification was the answer and that was that. Do you think it's important then to remember that it's only through a combination of factors, a combination of using the right approaches in the right locations and circumstances? Is that where we have to focus to find the real answer?
Yes, I think there are many recipes. There are maybe as many recipes as there are landscapes. That's a good possibility. Or definitely as many recipes as there are countries. We have to be very humble. We have to inspire ourselves. We have to be inspired by what others do, but we must find our own solutions. Every area has to find its own solution. We see you were talking about certification. The great difficulty in the RSPO in particular is that it's a global standard. It's a great standard. It's very successful. Its greatest difficulty is how it adapts in every country. And we have lengthy discussions about, but in my country, a smallholder means this, but in my country, we can do this. Land titles, land rights, what I can do on land is different. We have to be very humble. I think we have to not believe that we have silver bullets. There are no such things. Definitely not in sustainability, and definitely not if we want to see long-term evolutive change, which is hopefully what will be achieved with some of the landscape approaches. The most successful ones will stay on and will deliver more change as time passes. But that will not be for everybody.
Perhaps the best way of looking at the landscape approach then is to accept that a landscape approach means it has to be specific for the landscape. And as you say, developing specific approaches that are relevant in specific areas.
Yes, because at the end of the day, in every landscape, people will ask the question, what's in it for me? And how do we answer that question? And it's not only about the growers, it will be about the local governments, it will be about the civil society. What's in it for me? We'll accept change. What does it bring us? How does it benefit us in many, many ways? It can be financial, but non-financial. So yes, we have to be adaptive. We have to be humble. Build experience, use the successes to inspire others, but not forget that every landscape, every country is fundamentally different. And we cannot apply the same recipes everywhere.
Well, it's going to be fascinating seeing how landscape approaches develop over the next 5 and 10 years. But for now, Olivier from Mouzamass, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Ian.